This is also a briefing, Puget Sound Recreational Fisheries Enhancement. So Ryan, I will turn it over to you.
Morning, Kurt.
Is Knutson coming up with this?
Morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Morning, David.
Well, good morning. thank you for having us come in today. Mr. Chairman, Deputy Director Storr, other members of the Commission, it's an honor to be here to have the opportunity with Mr. Dave Knudsen, other members of the advisory body for Puget Sound Recreational Fisheries Enhancement, and Mr. Ryan Lothrop. Today, Ryan will be providing you an update on the Puget Sound Recreational Fishery Enhancement work to date since the meeting back in June of 2015. Ryan's going to go ahead and give you an update on where we stand currently, the information on what's been achieved in the intervening year and a half almost, and an idea of what we have planned going forward for the next 5 years. So, Ryan?
Thank you. Good morning, Chair, Commissioners, Deputy Director Jeff Storr. Appreciate the opportunity to be here to report back. Today we'll basically be going through a brief background, which many of you are familiar with already with the program. We'll also be going through the list of goals, strategies, and objectives of the program, where we are today, and hopefully where we are in the next coming year, few years. So as many of you are aware, Puget Sound has provided a significant year-round fishing opportunity for salmon and marine fish, substantially providing great economic value to the state of Washington. As you can see, in the 1970s all the way up to 1990, we had around 1.2 million angler trips. Unfortunately, through various reasons, including conservation needs and regulatory changes, fishing effort has dropped off, but has somewhat restabilized. One point of note, 1999 is the listing of Chinook to Puget Sound. So this group, Puget Sound Recreational Salmon and Marine Fish Enhancement Program, I'll probably abbreviate it as PSRFE or just simply the program, is a legislatively mandated group, basically in a sense to help enhance and recover fishing within Puget Sound and to provide the economics benefits to the local communities. This fund was formed in 1993 through legislation, was updated following an audit in 2003, and also created the Oversight Committee, which provides recommendations to the department. And in 2011, the group was changed to follow performance-based goals. Essentially, this was to help improve the cost-effectiveness of the program. And then finally, to report back, which is actually why we are here today. So I mentioned the goals and objectives were developed based on the legislation in 2011. They were finalized in 2013. But I should mention this is considered a living document and is subject to change based on best available information or progress reports as we move forward. The goal, in a sense, is to improve, as I mentioned already once before, is just to improve recreational fishing opportunities in Puget Sound, the economic benefits received by the local communities. The basic metric used is angling trips. This graph may look familiar for one of the first slides I put up there, showing the drop-off from the 1970s through the 1990. The dashed line is the target of our metrics to help better understand if we're meeting our goals. It's all that is essentially a 5% increase per biennium, so essentially it does compound. It is a very lofty goal. But what it does do is it help push the program, push the envelope on what the program can do and achieve. At the very least, even if we can't quite stay on track, you know, there are a lot of factors out there, ocean conditions and other things outside the control of the enhancement group. But what the group will do and attempt to do is to improve at least the quality of fishing. So the resources used to meet these goals and objectives is through license sales. Essentially, it's a $10 contribution from those who intend to fish within Puget Sound. And I probably didn't mention this initially, but it's marine areas 5 through 13. That's essentially from CQ on in, Canada border down here to Olympia, as well as if you're fishing for salmon in Lake Washington. The budget is essentially developed from or created and supplied from license sales, as I mentioned. We conduct an annual survey on participation rates by license type, and that is applied from last year, for example, to this year's current license sales. So that's how we have a budget to work off of each year. If you're looking closer at the budget below, you can see we have approximately an average annual budget of $1.5 million. It does fluctuate from year to year between, in recent years, from $1.2 to $1.8 million per year. And looking a little closer, you can see the majority, a little over $1 million, and the supporting costs are used for hatchery production. So in a sense, enhancing production in Puget Sound. However, and we reported back in June, this was already up there to some form or fashion, but the goal developmental line is used to kind of pursue innovative or other approaches or unique ways to achieve our goals, such as marketing and outreach or research studies even. So the Oversight Committee, we're required to have at least 7 members. We have up there more than 7. I believe got 11 folks up there with our chair, Dave Knutson, sitting back here, who will give a brief statement later on. But they represent a diverse set of anglers throughout Puget Sound. They serve a 2-year term, and currently we are soliciting for more interest within the department to provide feedback and recommendations on this program. We also have 3 subcommittees, the Hatchery Evaluation, Legislative, and Alternative Funding subcommittees, where the members volunteer and step up to provide additional support for us for the program to achieve their goals. Here's a slide that we have primarily is with Chinook production, but by year since the initiation of the program, you can see total production has shifted. Originally, we had a goal of 3 million yearling Chinook. However, due to survival rates and the outcome of an audit that occurred and the costs associated with producing yearling fish, it became a strategy was shifted to produce more sub-yearlings, which still contribute to fisheries. And even in more recent times, since 2012, we started adding some coho groups and are currently planning on expanding that. Essentially here, it just kind of shows total production has increased, be based dependent on our resources available and also HGMP practices as well, where we can make increased production. And I guess it comes down to what's a smart group to add. And so what we have here is looking at the sub-yearling, $110 per Chinook released. And what that really means is the cost to the program is $110 to put a fish in someone's cooler. You can see coho is quite a bit lower than Chinook, and that's primarily due to the increased survival rates compared to their counterpart, the Chinook. And the yearling are definitely more cost cost prohibitive in the sense, just because you have to have these fish sitting in the hatchery a lot longer providing food. Yes.
Just curious, are you able to take mortality into account in that cost? Because isn't sub-yearling mortality after release higher than yearling mortality?
So the way this works is just what survives and actually gets caught. Obviously, mortality is associated and essentially removed. We use cotwire tag analysis, so it's adult recoveries. And so by recoveries, I also mean, you know, in streams or at hatcheries or through a dockside sampling by anglers. So here are the list of facilities that are currently funded by PSRFE, all the way from Glenwood Springs up in the San Juan Islands down to Minner and, you know, Garrison and Voights down the South Sound. Nearly 8.4 million sub-yearling Chinook, almost a million yearling Chinook, and a quarter of a million coho. Currently, that's not necessarily what is planned in the next biennium. We're not quite there yet. But that being said, got a diverse set of facilities we fund. And I guess one thing you kind of notice is most of the programs funded are actually in Mid and South Puget Sound. And that's for a couple reasons. Partially historically for the program, but the other aspect is as these fish swim through more marine areas, they're more likely to be caught by fishermen, so it increases our cost effectiveness of the program, as well as it has the original intent too of raising fish further in South Sound is maybe to increase residency within Puget Sound, so wintertime fishing opportunities. Commissioner?
Right, we have very serious problem with predation on juvenile salmonids in South Sound, steelhead, Nisqually, Puyallup, etc. What's your sense of what's happening to our Chinook?
I imagine they see a similar fate to some degree. Obviously, every year, every species is going to behave a little differently. I have some information and slides I'll be presenting a little bit later that will maybe actually look more at coho instead of Chinook, but I think there's some similarities that can be considered. But yeah, we definitely do have a problem out there in all salmonid marine survival. So the four key strategies are essentially just to improve the cost effectiveness of the hatchery program, being that we have a limited budget to work with. Kind of pursue marketing realm to inform the public on what opportunities do exist, whether they're current anglers that already know what's going on, but maybe we can kind of, you know, highlight the pauses we do have, as well as try to recruit new anglers and or lapsed anglers. Thirdly is improve bottom fish fisheries. As many of you are aware, you know, rockfish populations are in currently extremely depressed, and finding ways to try to help recover those or get those back to where we can continue to expand fisheries or at least provide sustainable fisheries. And lastly, as I mentioned, we have a limited budget, so try to maximize our budget, whether it's through leveraging or pursuing alternative funding. The first objective is looking at the effectiveness of hatcheries. The current way we essentially use this is through cotwire tag analysis, and so we can kind of monitor and or evaluate recoveries to our recreational fisheries. Last time I was here, we provided a Chinook report on this, and so essentially the other objectives are looking at other species such as coho as well. And lastly, you have Lake Washington sockeye, which we haven't had a fishery in over about 10 years. So that's still a goal and objective to improve the odds of having a fishery there. Speaking of coho, we actually did create this report at the same time we provided the Chinook report. And this report is updated annually. It's basically just using cotwire tag analysis to summarize these contribution rates to our recreational fisheries, as well as to give the oversight committee a tool to provide recommendations. That's all that this is about, and we do update this annually, and I imagine over the next few months I'll be doing that with new data. And that tool actually was kind of helped to develop this very interesting, exciting project that kicked off this last spring. We're just essentially calling it the South Sound Coho Barging Study. It's a collaborative project with the Squaxin Island Tribe and the state. And we know about marine survival. It's an issue. There's some documentation through acoustic tag studies on juvenile marine survival of like steelhead, as Commissioner Carpenter mentioned. But you know, how does it affect coho? And there was some acoustic tags information that was collected this year that, you know, would have been nice to have a couple years ago, but it's the best available data that we have. So what we did do is we knew what we have with the steelhead, at least. And so we have existing coho production as Squaxin Island Tribe, and there's quite a few fish coho that they do rear. And so we essentially created two additional groups and barged them past these known mortality hotspots at two different points. Squaxin Island is the red point up there. The green one is the first study group, which we barged past the Narrows and released, which I was a part of and saw those fish released this spring, and they looked very healthy and robust at that time. And the last group is up to Point No Point and will get us past further mortality spots. So, as I mentioned, this occurred this spring, so this is year one. So we actually plan to have funding available for 3 years of release groups. I actually would hope that we would look at further than that, at least 5 years before we have sufficient data and can keep on providing recommendations. But it's going to take a few years to get some data back. 2020, we should have a pretty good idea of what's going on. But even in 2 years, we'll maybe see the outcome of this first release group. I should also mention this project was presented at the South Sound Symposium, where it received positive feedback and is currently has been accepted as another poster presentation at the Northwest Aquaculture meeting in December, just south here at Great Wolf. The next objective is trying to increase the awareness and understanding of what this program is about to the public. Also, trying to find ways to help the public better understand what opportunities exist and or what keeps people from actually fishing. So jumping in, this is the second time we've conducted this survey. The first year, first time in 2014, created our baseline. And so what this was is basically an online survey. It was very cheap for the department to run. It was distributed through emails or other news releases, but we also attended sports shows and had tablets available for folks to fill out the survey. We provide incentive and receive quite a few responses, you know, well over 1,500 responses, which is pretty substantial. And actually, looking back at where these folks were participating from, represented nearly every county in the state of Washington. As you can see, in 2016, this awareness increased by 5% from the prior year. So that's a positive sign. Looking a little deeper, most of those actually were non-local. So more, maybe it's it came from just more news out there. You know, people were a little more aware of what Puget Sound, what's going on in Puget Sound these days, or not. But that may be leading to this increase in awareness. Besides, hopefully, our marketing scheme. So we'll continue to conduct this survey in the next in 2 years as well. As I mentioned, we attended sports shows. We had the Seattle Boat Show and the Puyallup Sportsman shows that we were present. Where oversight committees primarily staffed these shows and were available to answer questions, tell people how they like to fish, where to go, some insight, as well as try to recruit folks to fill out the survey. JBLM orientation and seminars, that's Joint Base Lewis-McChord, just north of here near Tacoma, is a very large military facility. There's approximately 200,000 folks that support that base and would be considered the fifth largest town or city in the state of Washington. So we have a lot of new people that move to Washington. They're from all over the country. They're actually, I've attended some of these newcomer orientations, so these folks are required to attend this meeting to learn what the local community and area of business and or activities offer. And they are very excited to get going here. Most of them hunt or fish. They're very interested in elk hunting and salmon fishing. So that's good news for me that when I have conversations with them. But it's been very positive. We talked to well over 100 folks per month when we go to these seminars, and also reach out to obviously all their friends and cohorts as well, because the quicker we can get them to buy a license, the more folks they'll take out fishing. We also provide seminars how to fish for pink salmon, for example, at a very basic level, but it gets them started, kind of lets them have the ins and outs of what the regulations are in the state as well. And folks attending bring their whole family. It's been received great feedback and are continuing to develop that network on base and finding the right personnel, and have been accepted as a common participant in these newcomer orientations. Additional marketing, probably one of the more exciting things we've got going on this year is the phishing regulation app. That's something that we've heard from the public and staff about why we can't have something online that provides a better understanding of what the actual regulations are or where they are. And so this is currently being tested actually right now with an anticipated launch date of April 1st, I believe. We have several oversight committee members, or I should say all of them have been added as testers for this app. We've provided $2,500 in seed money to help improve the program, the map-based app as well. So a better product out the door, but in a sense, all we really want to do is tell people if they're here, what are the regs? So if we can achieve that, that's a success, but I think we can use this tool for a lot more things down the road. The other part is the Fish Washington part of our website, and it's also being incorporated into the app as well. It's essentially how and where to fish. We continue to update that, nothing new. However, last year we also, and I think I reported that we were planning on using that and creating an additional website to track the pink salmon run, and we received a lot of positive feedback. It was shared in newspapers, and so we continue to plan on doing that coming next year. So we also, and probably one of the more fun parts of my job is getting out there and going fishing and taking video of things, and then getting anglers to kind of give us some feedback and tell us, give us some information on how, when, where to fish, to also give those who have never fished, for example, a dogfish shark or a flounder sole, where they can go and how to do it. Some people are excited about that. Some people want to just go after Chinook, and I've done that one as well. Last year we added two videos for pink salmon fishing, and currently we're about to have, hopefully within the next month, the flounder sole video out. That's an easy opportunity for folks to get started at least saltwater fishing. There has been expressed interest in our oversight committee to produce a video on our South Sound Coho barging study, and I think it warrants sharing that information out there that we're trying these new approaches, and also highlight the marine survival issue we do have. Lastly, there is a plan, hopefully, to get out there and provide additional information on rockfish conservation, how to avoid rockfish, what to do if you catch one, and also how to identify them. So that's definitely in the plans. Hopefully, this spring is our anticipated time to get out there. Additionally, the Oversight Committee supported diversifying their portfolio in the sense by providing $5,500 to sea run cutthroat research. This is a significant, you can call it a little fishery if you want it, but it, lastly I looked at it, it provides about 20,000 angler trips within Puget Sound, which is more than I initially suspected it would be. It's a very stable fishery, provides year-round fishing opportunities, catch and release fishery. We developed a video to provide safe handling techniques and provide information on these little understood fish. So the Oversight Committee, as I mentioned, provided $5,500 to further run some fin clips to get a better understanding of the genetic component of the South Sound populations. And additionally, on top of that, the department has received, there's a coastal cutthroat coalition out there that is primarily supported by the fly angling community, but with PSRFE joining board, that diversifies your angling groups that are supporting research on cutthroat. The next objective is to improve recreational bottom fish fisheries. There's a lot of challenges on this one. We have in the past had lingcod production studies going on to see if we could actually raise lingcod. There's a bunch of artificial reefs out there, habitats to consider what to do with or expand or what not to do. Lastly, I already mentioned rockfish populations are depressed, so how do we solve that or at least improve our odds of finding a solution? So jumping right into the rockfish is the descending device. The Puget Sound anglers, the state, and the Oversight Committee has spent ample hours passing out over 2,600 descending devices since 2011. And then I believe nearly all of our charter boat operators have descending devices as well. So back in 2013, we conducted our baseline of basically, if you caught a rockfish, did you use a descending device to release the fish? Pretty low use, 5.9%. However, looking back this last year, it's 7.1%. It's an increase. It's not much. But what, if you consider how many units got into new hands and some people are actually using it, that's a positive sign to see that it's actually gone up. So we'll continue to support this as well as other efforts to improve identification and use of the descending devices within Puget Sound. Primarily, this effort was focused around halibut and lingcod seasons, but we do catch them in other fisheries as well. Lastly is to stabilize and enhance our resources. Essentially, one part of it is sell more licenses. Secondly is can we stabilize the budget because the cost of living to do business has continued to go up, but our contribution rate to the program has stayed stagnant. Lastly is basically just leveraging the program. I'm just going to really just touch upon one of our, I would call it a success story, hopefully. We'll find out in a few more years, hopefully. But regardless, jumping back to the JBLM outreach efforts we've done, we've seen an increase in license sales on base. So if you look at 2015 on the saltwater license sales, looking at the back, the last odd year, the pink fishery that we had, there was a 65% increase in license sales compared to the previous 2 year pink years. So that'd be 2011 and 13. So we do know that the forecasts were pretty decent. The outcome of what the fisheries played out, what came back, wasn't too rosy for coho and pink. However, we had an uptick in license sales. So that's, at least we'd like to think the marketing has some effect on these increase in sales. So what's next? Obviously, we want to continue to improve the effectiveness of the hatcheries. We're going to continue to update those reports, the hatchery evaluation reports, annually as new data becomes available. The South Sound Coho barging study will continue for at least another 2 years. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that. Maybe that program can be actually used for other uses. Could it actually be used to help increase survival of wild stocks, potentially even in some cases? So hypothetically, it could. We'll keep an eye on stray rates and other things as well. there's ongoing work to better understand why sockeye are not doing well in Lake Washington. There's a predation study that's still out there, and also the state is looking at alternative rearing strategies. So hopefully some information becomes available we can apply, but time will tell on that one. Next step is improved marketing, kind of the outreach aspect of this unit. Obviously, want to further increase awareness. We want to further identify potential underutilized fisheries where we can advertise the public and get more people fishing, more time on the water, and not just that, but more success and more angler satisfaction. So we'll continue to use new technologies such as the fishing regulation app to, I guess, inform the public and give them information that way they can go fishing and not get confused, for example, by all the regulations that are in place or, information that is kind of an information highway out there. It's just so much is flying at you, and so if you can kind of settle that down and understand the two or three or four big points, maybe we can get a few more people fishing. To improve the bottom fish fisheries, we'll continue to put efforts behind the descending device use, as well as angler identification of what species they actually catch, such as the video we hopefully plan to produce this next year. We want to decrease angler encounters on those rockfish as well. And currently in progress is, based on previous work on lingcod hatchery production, is a feasibility report. Does it work? Does it make sense to use it? That's kind of the questions being asked. Stabilize and enhance some resources invested. We're looking at the Wild Future Initiative that's ongoing right now. There are some challenges ahead there. But the Oversight Committee is fully supportive of a fee increase and will do what they can to reach out to senators and the public and other legislative members as it arises. We plan to continue to find ways to leverage our funds, whether it's actually finding more funding from other sources or jumping on board of other folks already doing work where we can just add to. The goal is to obviously increase license sales. So obviously we know this last year was a challenge with our coho seasons not in place, but some of those are outside the control of the enhancement group. But we'll do what we can to improve at least the quality of the fishery that is out there and hopefully more fish available too. So with that, just kind of want to leave on a high note that the fishery is a very valuable fishery to the state, nearly $36 million. Salmon obviously is king of the fishery within Puget Sound, for example, but there are other opportunities that people value. With that in mind, PSRE does contribute to a significant portion of the Chinook catch, and hopefully we'll actually increase that proportion and also through the coho side as well. With that, I'd like to invite Mr. Knudsen up here to give his statement, and then we can follow up with questions or comments.
All right, well, thank you. My name is Dave Knudsen, and I'm the chair of the PSFRE committee. And I don't know if that means I drew the short straw or the long straw, but the bottom line is I've been here three times to report to you on our work. And you, Ryan, obviously did an excellent job and a thorough job there, so we won't rehash a lot of that. I just want to primarily just highlight a few things, starting with the WDFW employees. As a committee member for multiple years now, you have heard before, but you need to hear again how good and professional your staff is, starting with Ryan and, of course, Lori Peterson, who's not here, but with the program, and Kurt. But also the regional program, or the regional staff as well. Jim Jenkins works tirelessly with this group. Edward Elizer as well. And then hatchery staff. We've toured lots of hatcheries, and the employees are excellent. And so that's just the bottom line message from the committee, is it's a pleasure to serve as a volunteer on these committees because of the staff and the relationship we have with the staff. As far as committee members, there are a few here as well. We have Norm Reinhart and Don Freeman, raise your hand, and Greg, who are all members of this committee as well. And so anyways, We're excited to work with the department, work with you into the future. And the thing that I like the best about this third time that I'm with you is that things have gotten better every single year. So that's over the course of 3 years now. It's a very solid program and very exciting, predominantly because we're doing new things. We finally broke the mold of let's just keep doing the same old thing, and hope for a different result. Now we're actually starting some innovative projects. And Ryan mentioned to you the South Sound Net Pen project. The things that are nice about that kind of project is that it's a true tribal WDFW cooperative project. After this year's North of Falcon, it's nice to also have things on the plus side with the co-managers. And that project, we hopefully will increase survival to Puget Sound for Coho. It's a good experiment to find out if we can do something different and get the survival up. And so that kind of project is just fun to work on. The work that Ryan's doing with the education outreach, the joint base work, obviously it's great to see three slides ago where you have a big plus up on license sales, you know, because of that outreach program. So it's fun when you can see direct results to the work that's happening. The real goal, though, is to maintain and increase the pool of anglers. It's you look out there and there's not a lot of young people that have decided to fish. Some of it might be because of just different interests. Some of it might just be due to complication and misunderstanding of how to catch a fish. And that's where this education outreach program is so valuable in trying to maintain but also increase that pool of anglers. So as far as towards the future, we're very excited about these new projects, excited about the existing projects. But, you know, not to just be 100% rosy, you have to throw some other things in there. And obviously the PSSFRE program, there's a lot of stuff that's outside our control, but within the control of the department. And that's where we as a group need help from the department, help from the commission as well. And we produce a lot of fish for harvest. We produce a lot of work on maintaining that angler pool. But things like HGMP approval for hatchery programs, without HGMP approval, we don't have hatcheries. We don't, you know, things come apart. So, you know, that's an area outside our control, but it's a very important area, and an area that I would ask the commission and the department to keep sight on. Another one would be harvest opportunity. There's the North of Falcon process, of course. But, you know, this program started originally as the blackmouth program, the winter fishery program. It's evolved into cutthroat. It's evolved into pinkalooza, a lot of pinks, which is all good. It's a sign of the times, a sign of change. But remember our roots back to the blackmouth program. And within the blackmouth program is predominantly a winter fishery. And things like in-season management, you know, constraints of our management in the winter fishery is devastating to the blackmouth program. And so that's something that I would ask the commission to keep sight on, to work on, and to work with the department towards, is changing the way that we do in-season management, especially in our winter fishery. So with WDFW's leadership and continued support from the committee, we are very encouraged with where we're at. We're encouraged with where we're going, but that is not to say that we are done with the work that needs to happen. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Ryan. Commissioners, Director, Deputy Director, if there are any questions at this time, we're happy to answer those. Also, as any other questions may come to mind, anything related to, for example, Commissioner Thorburn, the question on the how the calculations were made, we can provide you with additional information on that. So we're happy to do that.
Dave and members of the committee for the time that you spend and volunteer to do this. It's really appreciated. And Ryan, a great presentation. Dave, you mentioned something that, and Ryan touched on it, about recruitment. And you mentioned specifically youth, and that's something that I'm a strong believer in. And I'm not sure what the best avenues are to get that word out, but I would encourage to talk to the Pacific Education Institute, PEI. They do a lot, because there's also a link in some of this with citizen science that you're doing. And you know, I don't know what a 15-year-old watches or listens to, but you can't hit all of those groups out there. But maybe there's some group that has a network. But I just think that the youth, you touched on it, and I think that's absolutely critical, because that's the future. And the other group is, and here we have a link with the department. We have an ADA advisory body to the department, and that's a whole other area of all ages, but they're always looking for opportunities how to engage members of the ADA world in more activities. So Sam Taylor, right? You probably know that he works with Cindy upstairs, but I would just talk to him, because when that committee meets, I think a presentation about this would be of great value. And with the ask, how can we get more of the folks that you represent fishing? Because fishing is something that is, especially in some of the sight impaired folks that we work with up there, that it's a great opportunity. But it's all very important stuff. So thank you. And Commissioner Carpenter has something.
I just have some thoughts and observations, and I'll be a little bit rhetorical with what David said, I guess, but I made my notes before you spoke, David, so I'm not taking your thunder. When it comes to economics, being pretty familiar with these issues over the last 40 years, there's nothing out there that I could even remotely compare to the critical nature of having a winter blackmouth season. I mean, whether it's talking about the individual fishermen or the industries that are part of the infrastructure or the marinas, the winter fishery is by far the single most important contributor to the well-being of the recreational community. I'm going to throw a couple questions in there, and then I'll finish and you can answer them. On your slide, the one talked about increasing by 5% per biennium. I want to go back to that and see if we're actually doing that. You had a hatchery production slide on there, which I didn't really have a chance to drill down on, but you can comment on. I expect I know, but I want to ask the question, what's the percent of mark rate on all those hatchery fish? And the other emphasis that I want to make, I think the things you're doing with other species, cutthroat trout and so on, I think that's wonderful, but I got to go back to square one. There's one driver out there for the recreational fishery. It's Chinook salmon. That's the money fish. I mean, there's no comparison to what that can do to provide opportunity to bring new people and old people and keep them on the water fishing. It's Chinook salmon. And give me a little bit more of a drill down, if you would, on what your future goals and expectations are. I mean, what can we do to help you other than what you already articulated, Dave? We need to breathe some oxygen back into this baby. I want to hear how we're going to do it.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. So firstly, you asked if we are achieving that 5%. Looking at the graph, if you're looking really closely, we have one data point that aligns with the target, and we're under. There's a lot of fluctuation, you know, a lot of things going on. So right now, what I would encourage is to, you know, it might be more valuable to look back after we get 3 or 4 years to see what the trend looks like, because it does go up and down, as you can see. So right now, technically, we're under. Not substantially, but we're within target. Obviously, 2016, this season will be a challenge to see where that one lands. But I do believe 2015 season, I don't recall the final numbers where they're at. We're kind of looking, trying to wrap up those catch record card estimates, at least for salmon. And we had modest, solid participation, so I don't think we're going to be too outside the box. Actually, maybe that's what that data point, I think I might add a 2015 or so. We'll be close on 2015. 2016 will be the challenging year and how we bounce back. Mark, I think the second question was the mark rate of our hatchery production groups. There are a couple of double index tag groups, and that's what we leave intentionally unmarked to evaluate, you know, effects on wild and versus hatchery fish. All in all, I don't remember, I haven't looked directly at our total mark rate, but kind of looking at the big picture, Chinook hatchery produced fish with imputed sound should be at a 99.9% mark rate. Coho is definitely a little bit lower than that, but I think that one's also been improving in recent years as well. What are our future goals and expectations? Laid out a few ideas, but you're probably speaking to more of the big picture and where we're trying to go. And I think, as Dave Knutson mentioned, there's going to be some challenges on, you know, what opportunities do exist, what seasons are out there, how do we get around winter and season management. Unfortunately, that's, as I mentioned, outside our box, but if we can stay status quo at least, I think we have options to provide a better fishery through work we're currently doing. So I think there's some, there's a nice horizon line I think we can shoot for. Obviously, we'll have to see what challenges fall in front of us this next year, for example. But that's just my thoughts at a real high level.
Well, I just want to say in closing that I watch pretty carefully what you guys do. I listen in on many of the calls. I have a lot of people that call me about things, and I really want to express my appreciation for the dedication and hard work that all of you do, both on behalf of the department and from the private sector. It's much appreciated. Mostly, many times it's underappreciated by the public that doesn't really understand why we end up with a package that they don't understand. And one thing I want to add, if there was any way to simplify the pamphlet, it would sure save people that are merchants a great deal of sweat equity if we could streamline that a little bit.
And just to touch on that, Commissioner Carpenter, we will have a bit of a progress made towards that, I think, in our coming rulemaking process. You'll hear tomorrow in the current marine fish shellfish that's the conclusion of our recent three-year package, where we've moved around the state from Columbia River and to Western Washington and now the marine fish piece. But we are intending to move forward and make some serious progress in rule simplification. That's an aspiration that we have.
Yeah. I'd be remiss if I didn't weigh in on this one. I think you guys are doing some very, very interesting work. I'm particularly interested in your barging. The barging thing is something that's been in and out of science of salmonids for a long, long time. As you know, in the Columbia River, barging has been a way of life almost and has been criticized time and again. It's not a natural process, but they've learned an incredible amount on those barging experiments. If you look at Europe, for example, the Swedes have also done some barging experiments that have been very interesting with Atlantic salmon, finding as they took them out of the North Sea and released them, they got increased survival. Some of the sea ranches have tried remote releases using barging. For example, Weyerhaeuser in coastal Oregon at one time was releasing fish in blue water, coho, that they were rearing along the Oregon coast and moving out. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm very interested and excited about you moving out. I think it's going to give you a new and fresh reason for doing what you're doing in Puget Sound. So again, for diversifying your interest and your interest in research and what it can mean for the future of fishing in Puget Sound, thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission or comments? Seeing none. Thank you all.
Thank you.